Blog Talk Radio.
If you have ghosts, you have everything. If you have ghosts, you have everything. You can say anything you want, and you can do anything you want to do. If you have ghosts, you have everything. One never does that. One never does that. You can call it surprise.
Another night with Night Visions with WPRS.
I'm Wendy.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ruka.
Hey, Ruka.
Hi.
Hi, we've got a special night planned for everybody. We've had this person on before, and I know everybody's enjoyed it, because I know we did.
Yes, we did. Yes, he has been in the paranormal investigating field for 10 years. And for him to be as young as he is, that is remarkable, let me tell you. So we have Jake Bife of Bife Paranormal on tonight. So awesome.
But before we bring him on, I wanted to say one thing. My condolences to you, Luke, and the family. I saw your post about your loss. So just
thank
know
you.
I'm praying
yeah.
for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We just found out this afternoon that she was unresponsive this morning and passed not long after.
Sorry to hear that, because it's never easy to lose family. It's even worse now with all the quarantine and everything going on. You really can't do anything. So it's tough. It's a tough time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they say Indiana is back open, but we're not really sure if there's going to be a funeral or not. So, but if there is, I don't think I can go. I can't handle another family funeral right now. I'm still trying to get over the last one.
We certainly understand that, because that was not too long ago.
That was rough.
So without further ado, let's bring them on.
Yeah, this will brighten everybody's night up. Just got to bring them on. And we'll just try.
I am. Hey, Jake.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
We're good.
Yay.
How are you?
Doing well. It's great to be on the show again. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I know you have been up to a lot since then. Well, I don't know. With this quarantine going on, how are you doing?
Oh, I've been able to keep myself busy.
That's good. We've got a new co-host since you've been on the show. New member to our team, Ruka. She's been doing it quite a while too. So.
Good to meet you.
Nice to have you back.
It's good to be back. This is the first show that I think I've done since like January or February.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's like hibernating right now. What have you been up to with all this quarantine?
Well, with all this quarantine going on, most of the locations are kind of shut up. So what I've been mainly doing is kind of going back to my roots. When I first got into the field, you know, like Wendy said earlier, I've been in the field 10 years. So I started when I was 10 years old. And most locations, they wouldn't let me investigate, you know, because most of them were like, hey, you know, you have to be at least 18 to be in, that kind of stuff. So early on in Fire Paranormal, aside from investigating cemeteries or battlefields or historical places like that, I would also make these little, you know, documentary style videos or, you know, location spotlight videos for our YouTube channel. And because I was 10, they were cringy. I've actually tried to purge all of them unsuccessfully, but I've kind of gone back to doing that. And it's been loads of fun. I've been doing tons and tons of them since mid-March. And it's kind of kept me sane. It's kind of kept me also thinking about outside the box things to do in the paranormal field, so that once I do, you know, once everything does open up, I'm able to go out and investigate. I've got more knowledge under my belt, and I've got more locations that I'm aware of.
Nice. We hear that you're coming to Virginia. What are some places in Virginia that you're thinking about coming to?
Well, Virginia, there's the big one, it's actually not terribly far from where I live in Virginia, is the Stonewall Jackson Cemetery. Everyone I talk to keeps telling me it's the most active cemetery in the Shenandoah Valley and in that area. And I haven't checked it out yet, surprisingly. So that's one place. If it opens back up here soon, I'm hoping to do the Paris Theater in Parisburg, Virginia, close to my hometown. One I'd like to do, a return trip, is the Nickerson Sneed House in Glade Springs. I went back and I was looking over some old footage, and there was just something about the Nickerson Sneed House where when we started our investigation series on YouTube called The Five Files, you know, that was the very first location that we filmed at. And, you know, that was, I think it was 2017, I think it was 2018 when we did that, but I was just now getting into filmmaking, indie filmmaking. That's one of the things I do on the side, and I really didn't know much about it. I was kind of winging it, like I do a lot of things, and, you know, now it's 2-3 years later, and I know so much more. My equipment's improved, my knowledge has improved, everything's improved. And I would like to go back to that location and do it justice, because I feel as much as I enjoyed our last investigation there and that episode, I feel like we didn't truly capture the location the way it deserves to be captured. So that's kind of the first big project I want to work on post-quarantine.
Man, that's awesome. 'Cause I know you got a lot of, when you were there, you got a lot of, you know, you see, you didn't do it justice. I think you did, because you caught quite a bit, and I've seen some of the videos and stuff of this place of you being there, and it seemed to be off the hook. So,
I think it's an amazing location. If you haven't been, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I haven't been. I've been wanting to. I know we're supposed to be in that the however you say it, in Shenandoah Valley that got postponed to August. I think it's first
yeah,
weekend
the,
in August.
Strasburg Paravation for that.
Right.
I can't remember the name of the place, but it's a historical house, and they have the Civil War battlefield nearby.
I was upset because we were supposed to be going to that. We knew you were going to be that, and some other people that we knew
yeah,
were going to be at that. And...
yeah, I was.
So
I
I'm
was kinda, pumped for that
I'm
one.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it.
Same here.
I have a question that I never heard the answer, and I was wondering what the answer was going to be about. Once this is over with, when would you be willing to go to Hollywood Cemetery?
We all want to go take you to Hollywood Cemetery.
See, what's funny is I've actually been by Hollywood a few times. The cemetery, it's not terribly far from Carytown in Richmond. And I've been there, I think, two times with some friends, and we would always go by the Hollywood Cemetery. And you know, it's close to the top of my list of places I would love to go to. So, you know, if all goes well with the quarantine and things somehow get back to normal, hopefully this summer.
Yay.
Yeah, that would be awesome. It's been a long, what's been like 2 years since we've been. It's been a while.
And I know Wendy is chomping at the bit to go to St. Alban's with you.
We've been talking about that for years, Jake.
Yep. It's that location. I haven't investigated there since March 10th of 2018, and I need to go back. I went back last year for a quick little visit in June. There was a group from Chicago, and they were doing an investigation there. And I went in and was kind of walking through the building, talking with them, and it was pretty cool, not only to meet, you know, a new group, but to also go back through St. Albans again. And what was so funny is my uncle and I, we went. He had never been. And we didn't have any guides with us or anything like that. They just literally said, okay, have fun. And somehow I didn't get us lost. Somehow. And, you know, that further just proved, you know, my theory that the building reaches out to some people. And it's like it never leaves them. I've talked to many investigators that have been there, and they say that, you know, they could go, you know, a few years without going there. And then when they go back finally, they somehow know where everything is, as if they go there all the time.
I'm ready. I've never been but one time, and I'm just ready. I'm ready to go back. I don't know what Fruto's. has heard your stories about that, but I'll end up telling her sometime. But oh my gosh, Jake has got some amazing stories from there.
Yeah, it's a messed up place.
I think he told us a couple of his stories last time we had him on.
Yeah.
Right. Were you on then when we had him on? I think he may have been.
Yeah, I was.
Okay, so she did hear him.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm just ready. There are places that, like you said, they call out to you. Like I know Ferry. We've been wanting to go back to Ferry so bad. Ferry Plantation. Have you ever been there?
Nope, have not.
Just one of the places that I want to get back to very, very soon.
It looks like a really cool location.
Yeah. Is this quarantine would ever let up? Because I don't know what I I'm having withdrawals. I really am.
Thank goodness we're able to go to this place. It's called Fort Monroe, and it kind of helps.
Yeah, we get them. It's wide open. You know, you don't. It's not a building.
Well, that's cool.
Or something, you know, so you can get a little bit of ghost hunting in there.
Yeah.
Where I would love to go again is Gettysburg. I don't know, the last
that would
time
be
we
awesome.
Were there, because the last time we were there, we really didn't have a lot of time to, I guess, explore like we wanted to. And I know Wendy wants to, what is it, stay?
I want to sleep overnight in the slaughter pen. I know. It's crazy. It's just me. I don't know. Have you ever been
there?
Why
not? What, to Gettysburg?
Yeah.
I went when I was, I think, 5 or 6. So I barely remember it. Believe it or not, the thing I remember most about that trip is George W. Bush passing us on the highway in Pennsylvania. Yeah, that's like my biggest memory for some strange reason of Gettysburg. That and Little Round Top. Those are the two things I remember vividly.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I had forgotten about that.
What, Little Round Top? Mm-hmm. Is that where you go when you go into the tower and you can see everything? Like from miles and miles?
I don't know if that. I don't think that's the tower, because Little Round Top is where the 20th Main was. That's close to the Peach Orchard and Devil's Den.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Devil's Den. Yeah, I've had some experiences there too.
Mhm.
Right across. That's right across from Slaughter Pen. So. I got a fascination with the Slaughter Pen for some reason. It's just,
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's where they would put
Maybe
all the
men.
Maybe
you were in it in a past life.
Huh?
Maybe you were in it in a past life.
I don't know. I never thought about that. That is. Wow.
That's true. That's possible.
Because it always draws me to it whenever I'm there. Oh, man. So what is... Jake, what is one place that you're looking forward to that you are like, would this darn quarantine just be over so I can go there?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a really good one. There's something I've been wanting to do for a while. It's like a documentary style project, and the working title I have for it is Alone, a Paranormal Investigation, and it's working off the ideas of isolation and the effects it has on an investigation. If someone were to go into a haunted location by themselves with just a camera and a few pieces of equipment, what would happen to them? And there are several locations I have on my list for testing that out. But the biggest one for me, I am the most excited about trying something like that, is probably St. Albans Sanatorium. That is still my number one location I can't wait to get back to.
Just something about you and St. Albans, let me tell you.
Yeah, there's just something about – I was working on a script for a St. Albans video the other day, and I was just remembering all the investigations I've done there, going back through all the footage, the photos, everything. And it's weird. It's almost like looking at family photos from, you know, years ago. You look at them and somehow you can just recall the memories as if they're happening right in front of you. And that's kind of how it is for me and Albans. And still to this day, I've never been able to explain why that is. And I would just love to go back, either if it's, you know, by myself for that little, you know, project, a dangerous project that's stupid on so many levels, or if it's with a group or a public event.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
I would like to incorporate something into that, too, because it would be interesting to see what it would be like. But I'm telling you, I would love to see how different it would be for you if Wendy went, because I'm telling you, everybody...
everybody thinks that Red has taken a liking to me. I go in there, and they're like, I don't know what happened to Red, and you know, he's in a good mood tonight.
But everywhere that we have gone, because I remember we were told before we went there, just, oh, be careful, make sure you're protected, make sure this, make sure that. And we go, and Wendy walked off in the bowling alley by herself. And, you know,
they got free.
The guy said, like, you're going to send her alone here? So, you know, people don't believe me when I tell them that. They think I'm joking, but I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, it's not always a good thing, though, because then stuff don't happen around me, and I want it to happen to me. And
yeah.
Kind of fast.
Well, you know, the paranormal activity, it's hit and miss sometimes.
Well, that brings me to another question. You know, the quarantine has been for several months now, and people haven't been able to get out and investigate these places. Given the fact that this time has passed and nobody has been to these places, do you think that once people start going back to these places, that it's going to be, like, extremely, you know, ramped up now that there's been some time passed that nobody's been there?
I think some locations, yes, and some locations, no. I think some locations, it's not exactly a normal day for the spirits, but I think... You know, we have this idea that when we have investigations, that the spirits, you know, they somehow know, hey, guys, tonight's an investigation. People are going to be here. Let's, you know, either be really quiet or really active. But I think the spirits, they carry on their normal ghost lives, whatever you want to call it, regardless of whether or not people are there or not. Now, I think there will be some locations, and some of these might be darker in nature that prey more on human energy. And, or they just might, you know, like people more, and these locations will see an uptick in activity. I think a lot of people might also go into these investigations with the ideas and the thought processes of, hey, these spirits haven't seen people in a while. We're the first ones to investigate it in, you know, months. Probably going to be insanely active. And so they're going into the investigation with this idea. It's going to be insanely active. It's going to be insanely active. And so their mind creates an active investigation. So even though it might not be real paranormal activity, as in the spirits are causing it, it could be a mental creation of paranormal activity that they are anticipating mentally and that their mind is just, you know, creating.
Yep.
That's true. I never thought about it that way, but that is so true.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one of the things you mentioned it when you guys went to St. Albans, that they were saying, hey, you know, this place is active. Don't send her there alone. It gets on my nerves a little bit when locations do that. I can understand why they do it, but if you get, you know, a lot of people hyped up that something is going to happen, then these people, they're going to put all of their thought energy together. And even though they might have different ideas as to what is going to happen, they are all on the same thought process, the same wavelength and energy thought, whatever you want to call it, that something is going to happen. And so, you know, almost like a giant groupthink kind of thing, their energy just molds into one singular force, and it somehow, you know, creates activity, paranormal activity. And you can perceive that as, hey, you know, a ghost is doing something just like we said it would. But in our actuality, it's us that is creating the activity. So therefore it's a false positive. And I think there's a lot of paranormal activity that can actually be debunked by this. As to how much of paranormal activity can be debunked using that idea, I don't know.
Oh, well, that's true, because a good case in point on that was at Ferry. We were there one time, and they had, like, several groups there and just people that were, you know, not really into it. They were curious.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about all this stuff, and one group mentioned, you know, something really evil there. And I know firsthand that at Ferry Plantation, none of the spirits there, there's nothing evil, nothing demonic. And it really kind of got to me that, you know, they were coming across trying to make it seem like, oh, man, there's evil here, and there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Not at Ferry.
Mm-hmm. At Ferry, it's more based on history. It's the people that used to live there. Like, one of the main ghosts is the little boy who fell out the window, died, Eric. You know, based on history, there's nothing evil about that. It's just that he's just still there.
And the nanny, the nanny was just protective of Eric.
Yeah.
And then there was the slave, Henry.
Which is history. It's the people who were there. And they're just doing the things that they, you know, kind of doing the things that they always did, I guess.
Right.
Because we also went to that one place. What is it called in Pennsylvania? Was it Pennsylvania?
Oh, Hill House Manor. Hillview Manor. Yeah, Hillview.
We went there, and they were, like, saying, well, you really get this and that. And they literally set it up where they did something to try to scare us. And that really got to me. And, like, during our investigation, they were in a room, and I could hear them just talking and laughing and clanging on stuff.
Yeah, there are some places that they're up for the hype. They're not there for the actual investigation. They don't care. All they want is their money and pay to go have a good time. And that's one of the things that really irks me so bad. Have you ever been to a place that was like that? Was like, you knew that it was haunted, but then the people around was like, you know, trying to build it up so much that if something didn't happen to you, that you just kind of felt like you didn't get your money's worth?
Thankfully, no. You know, one of the first things I learned about the paranormal, my dad taught me, and, you know, doing hundreds of investigations, you learn pretty quickly that not every time you go out, something's going to happen. This is true even if you pay for an investigation. We've done full investigations by ourselves where absolutely nothing has happened. And, you know, you just understand that that's what it is. Paranormal investigating is a lot like fishing. You know, sometimes you can have all the best bait in the world, have the best spot, and you'll get nothing. And then next time you go out, you'll just have a piece of crap worm with a piece of crap fishing equipment, and you'll get the biggest fish ever been caught in that spot. So you never know what's going to happen. So that's why on these investigations, you have to learn to appreciate not just the paranormal activity, but also the history that you're standing in, the stories, the location, the fact that you're on a cool road trip with cool people, going to a cool place, having fun adventures. You learn to appreciate things other than just an investigation.
Mhm. Yeah, because those novice, those amateur people would be like, "Well, this ain't nothing. We don't ever want to go somewhere again because this is crap, you know, because they didn't get
anything." Yeah, and that's why there's a difference between ghost hunter and paranormal investigator.
There you go. Most certainly agree with that one.
I can give you a good example, too. Henricus, you know, they claim all the stuff that happens. Well, there was a time we were there. It was a group, and everybody was like, man, I'm leaving. There was nothing going on. Well, after everybody left, you know, we were hanging out with someone from
it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, everybody was gone.
And we were just sitting there looking and did the recorder and all that, and we got one of the best
the
best EVPs we've ever gotten. I mean, clear as day. And it was like,
and you never know. You never know when you may get this stuff. That was just happened to me, a group of friends just sitting around, and it happens a lot. And I know you can agree or disagree on this one. Most things, a lot of things happen when you just don't expect it, when you're just sitting around, or sometimes when you're setting up, you don't have a camera. Well, that happens to me a lot. When I don't have a camera, things happen.
Yeah.
You don't have your equipment set up, things happen. But a lot of the times, especially at Barry, we just sat around and things, you heard more things when it was just a group of people sitting around talking. It's kind of like they wanted to join in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, spirit goes for people too. A lot of people, they don't seem to understand that.
And that's the one thing I've tried to share with everybody that I've talked to. I tell them, I said, don't look at it as a failure if nothing happens. That's just, like you said, that's one of the things. It doesn't mean you failed. It doesn't mean that it's fake. And it doesn't mean, you know, you could go one time and nothing happened, then go back again, and then
the end of the sun happened.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask your opinion on something. Of all the equipment that you've gotten so far, what is your favorite, you know, piece of equipment that you use?
My favorite still to this day is probably the voice recorder. I could give the cliche answer and say, well, my own senses are my favorite, but, you know, let's avoid cliches for this one. I prefer the voice recorder, straight up EVP over everything else, because EVPs are difficult to fake. Even if, you know, you go out with the intention of, you know, faking an EVP either by whispering, post-production, or something like that, a trained ear can pick it out. And there's just something really cool about going into a haunted location with a flashlight in one hand and a voice recorder in another one and just walking through and just saying, you know, spirits of the area, make yourself known. You know, let's have a conversation. I might not be able to hear you in real time, but I can hear you later. And there's just something so satisfying about sitting there for hours with your headphones on, listening to these recordings, reliving an investigation, and then you get something. And not just get something, you get something good. And it's almost like a Christmas morning kind of feeling, especially when it's one of the creepiest sounds you've ever heard in your life. You know, at first you're terrified. You're like, oh, crap, that sucks. That's scary. And then, you know, after the third or fourth time when you put your, you know, adult pants on, you're like, hey, this is pretty cool, actually. And you can get that, I guess, in a wave with Spirit Box or the Ovilus, but I don't think you can fully get that reaction out of those pieces of equipment, anything other than a voice recorder.
Okay. Yeah, did Wendy ever send you that one that we got, that EVP that we got that time?
I don't think I did.
I don't think you did.
I will. I'll send it to you.
All right, thanks.
I'm curious to get your opinion on it, because I'm telling you, when we heard that, I was like, whoa.
And different people have said that it says different things. Which leads to another question. What do you think about matrixing? What is your take on that?
I've seen it happen firsthand hundreds of times. It can be annoying, you know, especially when people are so adamant that it says one thing when obviously it says something else. But, you know, after the whole, the Yanny and Laurel thing, that pain in the butt thing that was popular a few years ago, it reminds me a lot of when you're on an investigation, you hear something over EVP or Spirit Box, and people are like, well, it says this. No, I hear this. It's the same concept. And there's really no way, I guess, to prove once and for all what it saying. You know, there probably is out there. I just don't know the software. But it happens with audio. It happens with video. And it happens with photos. I can't tell you how many people have sent me photos with like 100 circles drawn on it with like Microsoft Paint. And they're like, look, it's a full-bodied apparition. And look, it's a ghost picnic. Don't you see the 24 figures and the orbs everywhere? And, you know, it's like a picture of the woods or something. And, you know, it's cool that they're getting into it. But, you know, matrixing is a thing. I think it's called pareidolia or some fancy word like that for visual. But, yeah, it's great. It's really hard to fight against it because when something does happen, you have a split second to react to it and for your mind to process, okay, what's making this sound? Who's making this sound? How did this sound get made by seemingly thin air? And then finally, what did it say? And all this is happening with like 1 to 2 seconds. And then, you know, you just call it out. It said this, and you have like 10 other people in the group that have 10 different answers.
Yeah,
that's true. Speaking of which, I got a picture I want you to see too. We didn't.
Oh boy.
we didn't do anything to it. I just want you to see a picture.
Oh, I know.
Okay, yeah, as long as it doesn't have like 50 red circles in it, I'm fine.
It doesn't have any circles.
It's not even going to tell you anything about this picture, and just get your take.
Yeah, I'll tell you later. I'll tell you where it is later and whatever. But I'll send it to you after the show.
Sounds good. And, you know, that's, you know, not to get off on another thing, something else I've gotten into here recently, you know, I'm very much into cryptids and unexplained animals, extinct animals that are allegedly alive. And actually, I think it was like a few weeks ago, maybe a month, I came out with a mini documentary about this bird. It's allegedly been extinct since like the 40s, but it was rediscovered in 2006. And they're kind of on the fence about whether or not it's extinct or not. Called the ivory-billed woodpecker. I actually have a painting of it in my room that was done by a very talented artist. And it's fascinating me, one, because I love birds. And then two, I love a mystery. And this is full of mystery and history, so that dates back to, you know, the Revolutionary War. And I've helped a few teams that have gone down to Arkansas and Louisiana to actually look for this thing, and they've sent me back tons of photos like, hey, you know, this could be something, this could be something. So here lately I've spent a lot of time analyzing photos, you know, getting on Photoshop, enhancing them, cleaning things up just to try and find, you know, this freaking bird. And it's really got me interested in spirit photography and the different tricks that you can do with it, how, you know, some people claim that certain, frame rates can capture certain types of entities, how, you know, motion sensors, how they work with infrared and ultraviolet, and how the different color spectrums can be tricked to where you can record various entities or things that are not seen with the naked eye. And it's kind of weird that, you know, helping research teams out look for an extinct bird, what, you know, worked its way back into paranormal research. And, you know, here recently I've just found that to be, strangely enough, the funniest thing here lately.
Kind of cool, though.
It's very different.
It is very different.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, people, they'll be talking to me for a while about paranormal stuff. They're like, wow, that's so cool. You know, I'll be talking like cases, the Warrens, my stuff. And then they'll be like, oh, so what else do you research? I'll be like, well, I research extinct woodpeckers, by the way. You know, allegedly extinct tigers in other continents. And it's like, you know, I'm throwing them a knuckleball. They don't see it coming.
It's so awesome, though. Oh, my gosh. Extinct woodpeckers. Wow. I have been wanting to get to the, it's not all that they have woodpeckers, but to the cryptozoology.
Cryptozoology.
Yeah, it's a museum about an hour from my house. They supposedly have some Bigfoot. I think they have a, instead of the Annabelle doll, they have a Miss Beasley doll. I don't know, you probably never even heard of Miss Beasley. But
that sounds
she is
vaguely familiar.
Right. We actually have one that's sitting in my kitchen right now.
Well, that's comforting.
It was kind of weird that it's kind of weird that they have one of those that's supposedly haunted.
Yeah,
you know, along the same lines as Annabelle was a Raggedy Ann and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Pretty weird.
I'm surprised yours isn't haunted because you cut its hair off.
Yeah, I cut its hair off and I colored in its eyes and her dress is messy and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, when you're a kid, you know. I wanted to be, I guess I wanted to be a hairdresser or something.
I'm going to ask your opinion on something because what do you feel is like the best resource, like, to get history about different places? Like, you know, how do you get your information? Because, you know, when I hear you talk, it just amazes me because it's like you're filled with history of all the places you go to. And I want to be able to do that. You know, I want to be able to
get that. Be the historian.
Right.
Yeah. For me, there's not really one site I go to. Pretty much what I'll do is I'll start with the location itself. If they have a website, then I'll go to, typically they'll have an Our History or an About Us page, and I'll start there, and I'll get the basic story. And then I'll go online, and, you know, at the end of this, I have about 80 tabs up, and I look like a psychopath. But I just type in the location, and I look for historical records, either in libraries, online databases, newspaper articles. You know, sometimes you can find local chat forums for people in the area, and there'll be like a one-off mentioning of it. Like, you know, they'll be talking about, like, you know, sweaters or something. I'll be like, oh, yeah, did you know that this, you know, mental patient in a sanatorium that's allegedly haunted knitted these really cool sweaters until they were murdered by this person in 1964? It's like, holy crap, you just got a really crazy historical story from a sweater knitting forum. It's like, holy crap. So pretty much you never know where you're going to get your history from. And then something I like to do is I'll find people – you know, whether they've been on TV talking about the location or just people that seem knowledgeable about it. And I'll get in touch with them and be like, hey, you know, this is what I'm working on, historical report on it. We're about to go there. What do you have? What are your sources? Where did you get your information? And thankfully, all the people I've reached out to so far, they've been really cool in helping me out. But it's a very long process. It took me, I think the craziest I ever went was when I did the Nickerson Sneed House for our investigation. I spent about 7 hours in total looking up the history of that place. And I went to all sorts of articles and websites, phone calls with people, emails, you know, with librarians, everything. And that's pretty much where I get my history from. And then, you know, like with St. Albans, you know, a lot of people that were involved in its history, they still come back. And, you know, I'll seek these people out and I'll talk to them. Every once in a while people come up and, you know, they'll be like, hey, I heard you're interested in the history of this place. I've got a story to tell you, that kind of thing. And so there's not really one place that you can go to get your history. It's kind of, it's a compilation of like 60 to 70 different places where I get my information from. And it's fun because you're going down this rabbit hole. And, you know, the further you go, I believe the further you connect yourself to said location. And I think the spirits recognize that when you go to these locations. They're like, you know, this person knows our story. They, you know, if you go to a location that's seen a lot of tragedy, you know, the spirits might have the idea, the thought process of this person might understand our struggle because they've read up on it. And I think in some cases it could increase paranormal activity.
Like when we went to the Houghton Manor in Connecticut, was it Connecticut? It was a story of the man, and he had, he was in a vehicle when he ran off the road. His daughter got killed, and he was supposedly haunting this house. And I did a lot of reading up on it before we went. So I was kind of like, well, you know, I know what happened to you. I know what happened to your daughter. It's been several years, so I'm kind of, the complete details have, has, you know, left me. But it was, I understand what you're saying, because do you, when you go in there, do you say that, I know what you've been through, I know this, I know that. Do you actually sit there and talk to them like that, or?
I don't. I've never done that because, one, I think it's kind of cliche, you know, just to walk into a location. I know your story. I understand you. There's just something that's almost like very early 2000s TV show, you know, about
mm-hmm.
that. You know, I think that's something the spirits can sense, you know, especially when
mm-hmm.
you start asking certain questions. You know, I think they pick up on that. And then, of course, you know, my dad and I, when we're at locations, we'll just be sitting inside and we'll be talking about the history of the place. My dad will be asking, you know, what's this room used for? Something like that. And I'll start talking for, you know, like 3 hours straight about the significance of a chair, something like that. And, you know, I think the spirits, they understand that.
Right. How is your dad, by the way? I haven't heard from him.
Doing what?
Seen anything from him for a while.
Yeah, he did a live stream. I think it was last Friday or Saturday. It was something like that. But, yeah, he did one. He got the L.B. Taylor book. He was an interesting person to meet. I met him a few months before he died. But he got one of his books and was telling one of his stories and giving his thoughts on it. It was pretty cool. But, yeah, he's still working. He still consults on a lot of the videos I do and stuff like that. We're actually working on our post-quarantine plans right now.
Nice.
Yeah, we've been doing that, too, because we've made a lot of promises, like to Ruka, places we wanted to take her and go with her and just,
if this darn quarantine would just get over.
Yeah.
That would drive me crazy. Fortunately, I'm still working.
But, you know, going.
But,
yeah, but, you know, real quick, going back to the getting my sources, the coolest one of, you know, instance of getting history from a location was when I worked security for the ghost tours at Desjardins. And then, you know, I've gotten back into the history and haunts of Desjardins, which if you're not very familiar with that location, it's pretty sadistic and evil what went on there. It's very sad. But, you know, that was one of those where I was trying to find everything out I could. And it was cool because when we did the ghost tours in October of 2015, the last time they legally let people on the property, I had so many people, you know, walk up to me. I'd be standing in the back, you know, doing security things, pretending I was busy. And I would have these older people, they'd walk up to me. Some of them, you know, they looked like they had seen hell, basically. They'd have walkers and people would be helping them. And they'd be like, young man, I was a patient here in the 60s, or, you know, I remember these people. And, you know, they would tell me stories of what they went through at the place and the, you know, the stories they heard from older inmates that had been there. And, you know, it was just, it was sad to hear what they had went through and some of the stories. And, but there was something kind of neat about it. It's, you know, it's a living connection to this building that seems like it, all the history there happened so long ago. And, you know, when you talk to these people, it kind of hits you upside the head that, you know, it might seem distant, but this is very recent history. And it's really cool to get these stories. And that was something that I thought I would miss when they stopped letting people on the property. But every once in a while, I'll get into a Desjardins kick where I'll kind of put it out there that I'm looking for stories or stuff like that. And I'll get all sorts of messages, emails, and comments about it. Just, you know, local legends that teenagers in high school, they tell about the place that they heard from their grandparents. And, you know, I'll have former patients that will contact us. And it's just, it is really cool.
Man. And where is this place at?
This is actually in Stanton, Virginia. I used to work, aside from working at the Ghost Tours there, I worked at a movie theater about half a mile from the place, and so I used to go by it all the time. And a few times, I think I went 4 times in March before the quarantine hit, I took a friend of mine, and she was interested in the paranormal, and I took my spirit box, and we went to the Lowe's parking lot, which is about 150, maybe 200 yards away from the building. It's the closest you can legally get without, you know, trespassing, and we did a spirit box session, and every time we've done it, it's been ridiculous. The things that I have gone, I actually have a few videos up on our YouTube channel about the things I've gotten there, the things I've experienced. And, you know, long story short, the last time we were there, we had something plain out state, I am the goat man. But on the recording, it erased itself. It erased it. You can hear us respond to it, but the voice is not there. It's the creepiest thing. And the only other location I've had that happen was at St. Albans Sanatorium. And there's this infamous ghost light that's seen there, and we saw that the last time up in the attic area, the third floor of the building. And it's just it's amazing. You can be 200 yards away from a location and still get insane amounts of paranormal activity. You know, just to give you an idea how active this place is, 200 yards away. Within the course of an hour and I think 8 minutes that we were there the last time, we recorded about 37 Class A or B plus spirit box clips, and that doesn't count the Class D or C stuff. That's, you know, kind of borderline, you know, shareable, and that's within the course of just a little over an hour.
Wow, I need to look that up. We need to go to Lowe's.
it's to give you an idea as to how haunted this place is. I think if they allowed investigations into that building, it would make St. Albans look tame. It would blow every location out of the water easily. No question.
Do you think they ever will?
No, I don't think they ever will. No. Personally, I have tried since 2012 to get permission to just go on the property, and they're very adamant that they will not let people even on the ground.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I want to go now.
it's a dark place. The things I have seen there, the things I've heard, the things I've felt, it was pretty scary stuff. It's one of the few places that has legitimately terrified me. And that's without even going inside.
Sure. And Jake Fife don't scare easily.
Yeah. Oh, and it was in the daytime when some of this stuff happened.
What?
Yeah,
oh
it's
my God.
A dark place.
I can't believe our hour is almost up. Do you have anything you would like to tell our viewers before we have to hang up?
I would like to say thank you all for listening to tonight's show. I hope you all have enjoyed it. If you have any more questions, you can reach me at facebook.com/FifeParanormal. You know, I love talking about the paranormal. I love hearing from people that have their own experiences, their own theories, or if they just have any questions, feel free to get in contact with me. I'd like to thank you all for having me on again. It's always a huge honor, and hopefully I'll be on again soon.
Oh, most definitely. We love having you on, Jake. And I hope to see you in August.
Hopefully, if this quarantine stuff is over. Hopefully.
Well, you stay safe. Thank you for coming on. We will have you again soon.
Yes.
Anything else, Eric?
No,
all right. We appreciate you, Jake.
Oh, thank y'all for having me on. You all have a great night.
You too.
All
right,
thank
goodbye.
You.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Wow. Man,
he never leaves me wanting more. He's such a great guy. He really is. He's so knowledgeable.
Well, speaking of knowledgeable, and she didn't say a lot, but Ruka, she is like...
She is... That's why she's on our team, and that's why she's on our show. And we love her, too.
Sorry, I had my mic muted for most of the show. I had a fussy baby.
That's a, I mean, it's understandable. It's, everything's good. And like I said, what I like about Jake, when he gets on, he keeps talking, but now he's got me wanting to go to that place.
No.
I'm telling you, it's going to be, well, it won't be a hard decision, but it's going to be like, once you get over the quarantine, it's going to be, do you want to go to DeLorean's? Do you want to go to Busch Gardens?
Do you
want to
go
to
Ghost Hunting?
Yeah.
And Ruka will go with all us to all of those. Yay.
Yep.
My biggest dream is to get a group and go to 360.
We're going to 360. We're going to 360 soon. We're going to have a show from 360 very, very soon. And Ruka's got to go with us. So, so that was an awesome night. Thank everybody for tuning in.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. But I seriously want to tell everybody to please stay safe. I mean, I know you go stir crazy being at home, and for those that got to go to work, just be careful and think smart. And last but not least, I want to say I understand this Friday they're going to do a lot of pet or whatever opening things. Please, people, don't.
Be smart. Be smart.
Yeah,
be safe, but be smart. Because, one, I'm going to Sunday. I got to go tan. Sorry. But, you know, my mom was like, you need to go to the beautician. But be, I don't, just be safe. Be smart. That's all I can say. Anyway, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Ruka, for being on.
Always happy to be on.
All right, we love you all.
Bye, everybody, and thanks again, Ruka. You're the best.
No problem. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.